The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. And today is Friday, February the 12th, 2016, and we have a live show for you today. Very, very special live show for you today. And before we get into the shows, hey, remember, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It is so important that we actually make sure that we don't lose the institutions and the individuals and the works that are being brought forward to us for the betterment of our people, our families, and our individual selves. It's so, so important. So continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. If you can, make monetary donations. Also, donate your professional experience. Donate your time. Donate whatever it is, because if Black Talk Radio Network has been beneficial to you, then it's incumbent upon you to take on the responsibility to share what it is that has been so good to you. So make sure you tell your friends, your family about Black Talk Radio Network, so that this network can do what it can, what it's designed to do, and to can grow and nurture and bring about the effects that we need within our community and within our overall legacy for the future of those that we know not yet. So continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, and also check us out on Facebook. You can check out our radio show, Tando Radio Show, the T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook. Check us out there. You can see some of the articles that are posted there. We'll post what the show is going to be about today, and just some articles that I found interesting, especially what's going on economically throughout the world. And you already know what this show is about. It's about preparing. It's about reestablishing ourselves. Is about solutions. So you'll find a lot. You won't find a lot of the mainstream media items there, because they really don't. Those are just diversions and they're facades to keep you from where we should be going. But what I try to do is I try to put a collage and a tapestry of different things from all over the world, what's going on, so we will have a better perspective of what it is that we're dealing with, so that we can provide the solutions that we need, and so that we can have a situation where people don't talk about us. They have to sit down and negotiate with us, so that the table of negotiation can be evenly yoked. So check out our Facebook page there, and that's Tando Radio Show, and that's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show. What I want to do is I want to get into the show directly today. I usually go over some of the articles that are posted there in current events, but today's show is extremely special. We have with us today, we have Dr. Umar Johnson on the show today, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Dr. Johnson, and I know that you are also. So with that, let me introduce to you Dr. Umar Johnson. Dr. Umar Johnson is a certified school psychologist who practices privately throughout Pennsylvania and lectures throughout the country, which you already know. All of you that listen to Tando Radio Show and Black Talk Radio Network is very familiar with Dr. Umar Johnson. And Dr. Umar Johnson is a blood relative of Frederick Douglass, the great Black abolitionist and orator. And as a school psychologist, Dr. Umar Johnson actually evaluates children between the age of 3 and 21 in an effort to determine if they have educational disabilities and a need for special education. And Dr. Umar is considered a national expert on learning disabilities and their effect on Black children, which is so, so important, as we will talk about in today's show. So I don't want to keep Dr. Umar, and I don't want to keep you waiting too much longer. And I'm going to bring Dr. Umar Johnson up right now. Dr. Johnson, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good afternoon, brother. Thank you for making yourself available. And sincerely, brother, I really want to thank you for all the work that you're doing and who you really are and what you decided to do. Because, you know, a lot of people can do a lot of things. There are many things that you could be doing other than what it is that you're doing. And it was a choice of yours. And I think that's something that our community really needs to understand, appreciate, and also, more importantly, I think you would agree, emulate. Because what it is that I know that you want people to do more of the things that they're fulfilled, so that they can fulfill their overall design plan in life. And we really need to do that by actions. And I want to thank you for setting the example, you and many others, but particularly I follow a lot of your work. I follow a lot of your lectures. I follow a lot of your evaluations of what's going on in our community. And I want to thank you, because that takes a lot of courage, because it's not a glamorous thing, and it's not definitely something that is going to get you much of a monetary gain, but it's bigger than that. It's all about what's absolutely correct, so that we can have a self-determining and have real sovereignty. No longer do we need freedom. It's sovereignty that we need. And so, Dr. Umar Johnson, I just want to thank you for coming on. And I would say, Dr. Johnson, what is really important to you? And what is it that you would like to accomplish in the near future and possibly in the next 5 years, Dr. Johnson?
Well, if I look at my 5-year plan, there will probably be two major things. Number one would be the creation of the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey RBG International Leadership Academy, which would be the world's first academy based on the principles of Pan-Africanism and entrepreneurship. We have to teach our children how to be entrepreneurs, how to make their own money without having to work for someone else. Most black folks are slave wage earners, and we have to change that. Our political situation is a direct outgrowth of our economic situation. So until we fix our economic situation, the political respect that black people get will always be wanting. So building the school where we teach them how to do their own taxes, how to start their own business, how to invest in the stock market. We will teach the science of the black family and black community, where boys are taught how to be men and the girls are taught how to be women, how to be fathers, how to be mothers, how to be leaders. We will also teach dietary and nutritional science so the children know how to take care of their own body without relying on Western pharmaceuticals. We will teach African spirituality and cosmology, emphasizing the importance of the worship of Almighty God, but also the importance of honoring our ancestors who never die, but are always with us. And of course, we will teach political and military science, how to protect African life, also understanding white supremacy. Most schools in America and around the world only prepare our children to go to college. We want to prepare our children for life and how to be successful. So that would be the one goal. The other would be the creation of a set of communities in Africa where Africans from the diaspora can repatriate home, even if not on a full-time basis, on a part-time basis. We have to build that political economic relationship with the mother continent. So those are two of my 5-year goals that I'm working towards.
Well, Dr. Johnson, and I will tell you, Kando Radio Show and our listeners and Black Talk Radio Network, I can speak for them. We will definitely assist you and walk with you in this journey, because that's really what it is. Because, you know, the true meaning of love is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else. And, you know, this is what we have to exemplify and what we have to really be committed to. And I thank you and applaud you for that, because it is, you know, it is an unselfish thing to do when you want to move your people from where they are to where they should be. Because, you know, there's so much of our prosperity that has been lost, and it's been lost because of the schooling system. I like to say that, you know, what our children are exposed to now is obedient school. It's not an institution of learning. There is no education, and there is a big difference between schooling and education. Would you agree with that, Dr. Umar?
Yes, sir. And to add to your statement, there's two institutions in society that are more concerned with someone's behavior than their happiness, quality of life, or progress, and that is the prison and the school.
Yes.
Only in prison and in school is your behavior more important than your future or your destiny or your purpose. And schools are nothing more than an extension of the prison system. Schools prepare our children for incarceration. In fact, the school is the waiting room for the prison industry. It's where black boys are taught how to be failures, and black girls are prepared for poverty. That's the whole purpose of public education, to prepare us for incarceration.
Completely agree, and we've seen the evidence of that. We can substantiate and validate that in so many ways, but the most important thing is that we have to acknowledge this and realize that this is not the direction that we are going to allow ourselves or anyone else to put us in. Because, you know, if you can only be captured by someone if you surrender, you know, and we have to change the way, you know, when you talked about the institution, the educational institutions that you're going to actually build and the children will come. When you talk about that, that's really teaching our young people the arts of science so that they can be self-sufficient and independent and self-determining in their own direction so that they can be sovereign. And if you don't have a sovereign nation, you have a captured nation. And this is what, you know, I really firmly believe that your project will succeed in, and I'm looking forward to assisting in that and all that I can. You know, Dr. Umar, you and I were in a movie that, you remember Black Friday?
Yes, sir.
You and I were in that movie, and it was a great premise for that movie. And, you know, one of the things that is so important about with the time that we're in right now is that we have a great opportunity. And this is in these institutions that you are, the school and the university that you are going to bring to our people, is so important because our people have no clue what real money is. You know, our people have been totally, you know, they've been misled. Because I always like to say that, you know, a wage of a king is gold, a wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver, and a wage of a slave is debt. We've been given a debt side of everything, and we've accepted it. And this is why your institution is going to be so important. And Dr. Umar, so in saying from an economic standpoint, an entrepreneurial standpoint, why is that so important that we support the building of these institutions?
Well, number one, you don't change anything about a people until you change their behavior. And you don't change behavior until you change the mindset. And the only way that you can change the mindset is through a psychological reconditioning and an educational repositioning of the mind. So education is absolutely critical because without it, there is no growth. There is no growth. And so we have to realize how critically important schools are for creating that new mindset of the African that we're going to need for the 21st century. When most people look at schools, they think that the primary purpose of a school is education. It's not. The primary focus of a school is socialization. Schools teach you how to function within a particular reality. Schools teach you how to function within a particular reality. For example, you look at the average African-American college graduate. Most of them, after they get their education, they move out of their community. Why? Because the education that they received was an education that made them incompatible with the needs of the black community, but it made them compatible with the needs of the white community. That's what schools do. Now, when a Chinese kid goes to school, when he graduates, okay, he is compatible to the Chinese community because the education he got at his school taught him how to function within the Chinese cultural reality. The education that the white kid gets teaches him how to function within the European cultural reality, and the education that the black kid gets teaches him how to function within a white reality and not in a black one. So that's why most of our college graduates are of no use to the black community, because they haven't been taught how to function within our reality. That's the purpose of schooling, to teach black children how to be purposeful and functional within a black reality. But the other thing I wanted to say quickly is this.
Yes.
We have to recognize that all progress is based on teamwork. All progress is based on teamwork. And especially when you're talking about a numerical minority amongst a numerical majority. Now, of course, we know that African people are the majority in the world. We know that. But in America, we are a minority. And the only way a minority can flex its muscles and look out for its best interest amongst a larger majority is to work together. So that is to say, no matter what we do, no matter what we do, if it is not done in harmony and in unison and in concert with one another, then we will fail. All progress is group work, all of it.
So true, Dr. Mark, because, you know, it's about the community. It's about the whole, you know, man has created a fraudulent ecosystem while God has created, the great creator has created, I'm sorry, a man has created a fraudulent economy while God has created an ecosystem that has collective prudence within it. And this is so true. You know, you said something that struck me that I never looked at it that way. And you're absolutely right, you know, and I appreciate hearing that from you, was the conditioning that our young people are placed under the obedience training that they get from the current schools that they attend. And this is why gentrification happens. Gentrification happens when black people move out. It's not when white people move in. And that has to be, and we're losing our talents, we're losing our capabilities, and we're not really being able to foster and nurture and to have the learning, the situations where that's conducive for our young people to achieve their optimus, their best that they actually can perform at, because it's opposite of who they really are in so many things, because they're taught to live in someone else's world. And I'm glad that you expressed it that way. So Dr. Umar, so what are some of the steps that we need to take to get your school and get these institutions in our community so that we can reestablish our own Africa town here and establish our relationships with Africa in general, because they are waiting on us. And
well,
I know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, my brother.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead, doctor.
I was going to say that one of the things that has to be changed if you want to change black America is the priorities that black people have. And the only way you change the priorities is by changing the value system. For example, why do black people spend more money on entertainment than they do on their retirement? Why do black people spend more money on their clothing than they do on their children's education? Why do black people value materialism more than spirituality and happiness? It's because of the value system. Our value system is what allow us to make Michael Jordan sneakers a priority. Our value system is what allows us to make obtaining a Mercedes-Benz, even if we don't own a home, a priority. Our value system is out of whack. And that is because our value system has largely been inculcated in us by the dominant culture. We live in America, which is a very materialistic, money-driven society. But on top of that, we value our oppressors. We value white people more than we value black people. This has been the conditioning theory. So if you want to change that, you have to change the values, and that's where the psychological restructuring has to take place. We got to recognize something. Black people are a psychologically traumatized people. And unless you understand trauma, you will never understand black behavior. For example, people will say, well, why don't black people support themselves? Why do black people kill each other? Why can't black men and women work together? Why all black children want to do is compete with one another? That is because we are a traumatized people. And when you are traumatized, psychologically disoriented, you will work against your own best interest and not see anything wrong with it. For example, if a Chinese sees another Chinese buying from a white man when there was a Chinese store available, then he will look at him like something's wrong with him. If
right.
a white person sees another white person patronizing a black business instead of a white business, he or she will look at him like there's something wrong with him. But black people will see black people all the time supporting white businesses over black people. Black folks will see black people killing each other, working against each other, gossiping each other, tearing each other down, and they don't see absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's never an issue. Now, when a black person kills a black person, it doesn't matter. When a black person kills a white person, it matters. When police kill a black person, it matters. But why doesn't a black person killing another black person matter? Because our trauma has allowed us to detach any meaning. Our trauma has allowed us to detach any meaning from homicide when it's considered, when it's committed by another black person, because in our traumatized mind, black on black crime is completely normal and acceptable, which is why it gets no attention in the black community.
So true, Dr. Umar, and it plays out into everything in our lives, and we actually teach our children and our young people to function in that, and so they don't even know that they're captured in this whole psychological, because if you look at, in order to enslave someone, in order to get them to surrender their free will to you, it's a psychological process to that. And in order to maintain that position, there is a continuance of a psychological warfare and asymmetrical warfare that has to go on. And we really have to understand and get behind really changing our overall agendas, our overall, as you said, our values, and most importantly, our direction. We have to, once, and you know, I said yesterday on the show, we have to let, you know, instead of saying, let my people go, we have to let Pharaoh go ourselves and walk away from this and change our energy, because whatever we give energy to creates life. And, you know, Dr. Umar, with everything that's going on economically, and I know that you are well aware of the economic crisis that's hanging in the balance globally. And our people are the last people to know about these things and to prepare for them. And I just wanted to get your opinion on, just from a global standpoint, with the economic, I call it the economic collapse that it's about to happen. They're going to collapse the common person's economy. And you spoke about it briefly, talking about us valuing Michael Jordan sneakers and not having a, you know, having a Mercedes over a home and more concerned about material things and entertainment instead of investing, instead of developing and investing in our community so that we can actually have a fundamental a foundation for an economic growth. With the advent of the economic collapse that's coming on, how do you see that affecting us if we don't prepare for it accordingly?
Well, what they're trying to engineer for the world, but especially for black people in European society, is a degree of desperation and economic panic that will create a literal civil war among black people. They're trying to literally create a crisis state by eliminating economic opportunity and services, so that black people will actually turn on black people at a level that we do not see currently, which will justify the police coming in and exterminating or concentration camping everyone. That's the whole goal. One
right.
of the strategies of the New World Order, which is nothing other than the permanency of white supremacy, is to create terrorism by controlling the resources and the circumstances of life, which justifies a taking away of human rights. Create terrorism, because when people feel afraid, they will voluntarily give away their human rights. When people are afraid, they will voluntarily give away their human rights if they believe that this will lead to more protection. And so
right.
what they're trying to do is induce panic So black folk, as well as anyone else, will voluntarily give over their rights to the government and the police force, which will lead to greater repression. But because it is voluntarily given on the part of the citizen, it will look like protection instead of oppression.
Instead of what it really is and how it's going to continue to grow. You know, well said, Dr. Umar. And this is, you know, in your opinion, what is it and how should our people be, should they be preparing for this? And how should they prepare for that by excluding themselves from the system, if that's the case? And in your opinion, how should that be actually done? How should that be facilitated?
Well, as a student of military science, no one prepares for a war alone.
Right.
Obviously, we've seen the Rambo, we've seen the Conan, we've seen the Terminator movie, where they have sensationalized the one-man army. There's no such thing. There has never been a war ever won in human history by a single individual. So that goes back to my earlier point of all progress being teamwork. The way you prepare is by organizing with other Africans and coming up with systems.
See, yes.
Systems prove groups of people. Individuals don't have systems. Okay, you may have a system for checking your mail or a system for cleaning your house or a system for running your finances, but operational systems, human systems, include groups of people. And so what we don't have is a system, and we do not have a protocol. We have no arrangements whatsoever for dealing with any type of emergency or even regular predicament that black people face on an everyday basis. We don't have
yes.
a system for tackling hunger. We don't have a system for tackling homelessness. We don't have a system for tackling domestic violence. We don't have a system for educating our children. We are a systemless people, and a systemless people are a disorganized people. And Marcus Garvey said, His Excellency Marcus Messiah Garvey, the most eminent prophet and king of Pan-Africanism, said that the greatest weapon used against black people is disorganization.
So true, and we see, and we can substantiate and validate that even through natural disasters, which could have been created through technology, you know, with Hurricane Katrina. And when you're not organized, when you're not self-sufficient, when you have no form of sovereignty, then you will seek the assistance of those that oppress you. And this is what we do too often, and this is what has to change. You know, Dr. Warren, there's a couple of callers that's in queue. If you would like, we're going to get ready to take a couple of calls, if you would like. And then also, but before we say that, you know, you said something that was so important. You talked about the resources. And within our community, we really have an attachment to cream. Cash rules everything around me, which is nothing more than a debt instrument. We don't have an attachment to real resources because the governments control nations by oil because of energy. Without energy, they can't have a functioning economy. But they control people by resources. If you have resources, then you have no need for a boss, a master, or an oppressor. And this is And I would like to get your opinion on that. And how important is it for us to, once again, just restate, how important is it for us to get on the resource side so that we can establish the economy? Because when you control resources, the economy needs you. You don't need the economy.
Exactly. And I would add to that with the resource piece, you're speaking of accumulation, the accumulation
yes.
of resources. And that is also been an issue for us because we don't like to accumulate. And the reason we don't like to accumulate is because most of us live in a panic life, a disaster preparedness life. We are always in a state of crisis. And when people live in survival mode, they are more concerned about their everyday needs than they are about their future requirements. That's why we spend all of our money. That's why we do not save. You see, that's why we do not pass down any wealth whatsoever to the next generation, because we are always living in a state of crisis. And when you are living in a state of crisis, you can never prepare for your future. And that is one of the reasons why we struggle so much when it comes to accumulating wealth. As I hear young people say all the time, when I speak in the colleges, they will say, well, what is the use of saving when I don't even know if I'm going to be alive next week or next year? You see, and so that is one of the issues that you often deal with when you live in a society, you know, where people who look like you are being murdered at disastrous rates. It becomes very, very difficult to be concerned about your future.
So true. So true. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. And you always hear me say that a soldier can never do what a warrior thinks. You're hearing the thoughts and the expressions and the articulations of a warrior. And more of us have to become warriors and not become soldiers. Soldiers take orders. A soldier will take orders. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Umar Johnson, and we're going to talk about some of the things that Dr. Umar Johnson is doing this weekend and is and actually the school and the educational institution that Dr. Umar Johnson is creating that, and it needs your support. This is all about the team, and we have to get behind this because it's not about one person. It's about the collective prudence of a people. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
That was 51.7.
One sec, Dr. Umar. Sorry about that. I didn't put you on a hold.
Nah, that's cool.
Yeah, you're not on. I didn't mute you out. Hold on one sec. I'll mute you in a second.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back today in the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today we have with us Dr. Umar Johnson is our guest, and want to thank Dr. Umar Johnson for coming on. And if you'd like to have, if you have a question or comment that you would like to make, or you have a question for Dr. Umar Johnson, definitely give us a call, because a dialogue is much more important than a monologue. So give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, and hit *61, and we will definitely pull you up and get to your questions and or your comments. Dr. Umar, would you like to take a couple of calls? Because we have some people in queue. Is that quite all right with you, sir?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Dr. Umar Johnson? We're going to go to this. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question for Dr. Umar Johnson?
Good evening, Dave. Brother Davis, I'm calling from Indiana. Dr. Johnson, I find we have the greatest problem of collaborating as a people. The sad part about it is that that is going to be the solution to all of the problems that we're in, whether we collaborate on the educational level, the social level, the political level. But collaboration is what I feel that we really need to do. But we find that our people will come in and collaborate in mind, but not in resources. And do you think that may be something psychological? And how do we approach this so that we can find a solution? And I'll just sit back and listen.
Yes, sir. It goes back to value. Black people do not value themselves, and as such, they don't value each other. The last thing a black person wants to work with is another black person. The last thing a black person wants to love is another black person. And the last thing a black person will respect is another black person. I remember in my younger days with the Marcus Garvey movement, the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, which is the largest black organization in modern history. One of the elders used to say at the meeting, very sarcastically, he would say that if you want black people to get along, put a white person in charge. If you want black people to get along with each other, put a white person in charge. They will not respect each other, but they will respect a white man or a white woman. And that is so true and so telling of us. We have been taught to only respect external racial authority. You know how difficult it is for a black supervisor, a black boss, to be respected by his subsidiary? It is almost impossible. Why? Because we have been conditioned and socialized to hate black people as much as white people hate black people.
And this is why the institutions, because I'm going to say institutions, because there's going to be multiple institutions, Dr. Umar, that you are going to be involved in and spearhead. And I think that that's so important that we understand that. And because what we're talking about is that at some point we have to stop. So many of us, the only thing that we care about is ourselves. And that is because of exactly what Dr. Umar has said, because our values have been lost. And, you know, I hear it all the time. You can hear Dr. Umar. I've heard Dr. Umar on different shows. On different interviews, and you can see how the interviewer or the show host, in some places, not all, they will attack Dr. Umar right away because he's actually telling them you can do things on your own. You don't have to do it by the way that you've been schooled in obedience training to be domesticated towards another man and give your life for this another ways and means. Your way of life provides for this man's means of life. And they are threatened by that. And that is because you can never love when you have fear that you embodied or are you hold on to. And the thing is, one of the things is that we are afraid. We are afraid of each other. We are afraid of everything that the propaganda has put before us. And I think this is one of the things that we need to have a new institution, and we need to have education and not schooling. And I think that's so, so important and is relevant to this time, Dr. Umar. And, you know, when we really look at it, Dr. Umar, I think right now is the opportune time for us to change the direction that has been thrown upon us that we have accepted, because there's paradigm shifts that are going on. And I believe that people are starting to understand harmonic frequencies and realize that we've been lied to at every turn. And in part of that lie and being lied to from the propaganda, mainstream media, there are individuals among us that have real solutions that never get talked about or even get on the forefront because, like you said, if it's not being led by a white person in black America, it's not something that we want to support and get behind. Dr. Umar, how long have you been asking and trying to get our people to support the educational process that you are bringing forth to help our people? How long has it been, Dr. Umar?
It has been a while. It has been a while, and I would have to say, though, we've received tremendous support from brothers and sisters as it relates to the fundraiser. I mean, literally, the P.O. box has been spilling over, and most of our donors, you know, have been repeat donors. But the beauty of it is that. But the problem is we have people who have never donated. So the people who are donating are doing as much as can be expected of them. It's the people who have never donated who need to start. But even on top of that, I would have to say that there's a lot of people who don't know who Dr. Umar Johnson is. There's a lot of people who have not yet come into contact with my message. Some people will find that to be odd, given the fact that I am the most requested black scholar on the speaking circuit in the country, but there's still millions of people who've never seen me. I've never been on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I've never been on Tavis or anything like that. So there's a lot of people who don't know. So what I tell people to do to really help me is to let people know who I am and what I'm trying to do, because a lot of our people will donate if they only knew that I existed and that my mission.
So true. You know, and one of the things is that why Dr. Umar is not mainstream is because the sincerity of the message and the direction. This is why we have to support. And I want to say this, Dr. Umar, I'm a firm believer in resources. I actually teach precious metals, the importance of precious metals and why they're so important, because they're God's money. Man didn't create them, you know, create it, and they don't have a patent on it. That's why they hate it. So what I want to do, Dr. Umar, is, and I want to set the example, and I would definitely ask some of our listeners and some of, you know, some of our listeners to spread this to, among other, some of their friends and family members to get behind Dr. Umar's efforts. What I want to do, Dr. Umar, is that I'm going to donate myself, and just please let me know where I can send this, and I know you will. I'm going to donate 20 ounces of silver to be put into the coffers for establishing with our young people what real money is, so that they won't grow up thinking that cash is money. They need to know the difference between money and currency, because man creates a debt slavery system through debt and through currency. God gives you sustainability through resources of precious metals. And I definitely want to. That is going to be my commitment. And this is something that I'm going to continue to do with you, because I believe in everything that you're doing, and I believe in our people in supporting. So, Dr. Umar, how can people tell their friends?
Hey, Dave, we'll match that, Dave.
Okay, great. That's Brother Davis. So, Dr. Umar, how can people, what's the best way that they can, you know, where can they go to get information out about you? Where can they go to donate? Let's talk about some of the important things to get this institution actually moving, because you said something, repeat donors. And that's great, but we need to have an expansion where we have new donors coming in so that this actually can be facilitated, because it is a very, very expensive and it's a very time consuming and it's a very methodical approach to establishing any form of educational institution.
Definitely. There's two ways they can donate to the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Academy. One is online. They can simply go to GoFundMe.com/Dr. Umar. GoFundMe.com/DRUMAR. The other way is to mail in their check or money order payable to the FDMG Academy. And that could be mailed to P.O. Box 6872. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19132. Again, FDMG Academy, P.O. Box 6872, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19132. We also want your listeners to know that I host a free Black Parent Teleconference every Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If any of your listeners or parents ever have a question about mental health or education for our African babies, they can call in for free. I'm also going to be hosting the third annual Dr. Umar West African Tour. We will be going to Senegal and Ghana this summer, the last week of July, first week of August. It's going to be a fantastic time. We're going to go to the slave dungeons. We're going to have a traditional African naming ceremony, so everyone comes home with their African name. They'll get an opportunity to eat African food, go on a boat ride, go to the museums in Africa, get their African spiritual reading done. It's going to be powerful. They're going to participate in the emancipation ceremony, which commemorates the end of the slave trade in Africa, which did not occur till way after slavery ended in right. America. So if you want to go to Africa with us, please get in contact with me. I can be reached by email, drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. That's drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. They can also email me through the website, drumarjohnson.com. They can also reach me by telephone, area code 215-989-9858, area code 215-989-9858. And if your listeners are on social networks, they can connect with me on Twitter and Instagram, at Dr. Umar Johnson. Twitter and Instagram, at Dr. Umar Johnson. One word, D-R-U-M-A-R Johnson. And on Facebook, I use my Yoruba last name, Ifatunde. So it's Dr. Umar Ifatunde, I-F-A-T-U-N-D-E, on Facebook.
And I will post that inside of Kando Radio Show. Dr. Umar, he's not hard to find at all, but we need to get this word out. Dr. Umar, this weekend, there's some things, there's a couple of events that are an event that you're going to actually be a guest at or is hosting this weekend. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will be speaking in Suffolk, Virginia, which is one of the seven cities area of Virginia, which, of course, includes Norfolk, Chesapeake, Portsmouth, Virginia Beach, Hampton, and Newport News. Suffolk is one of the seven cities that I have yet to present in. So this will be my first time in Suffolk, and this might be the last of the seven cities that I have yet to visit. So I will be in Suffolk, Virginia, honoring the 198th solar return of the greatest black leader in American history, none other than my four-time great-grand cousin and uncle, the Honorable Frederick Douglass, who will turn 198 years old in spirit on Sunday, February the 14th. We will be at the Temple Beth El Social Hall, which is an African Hebrew congregation. They are located at 3927 Bridge Road. Again, 3927 Bridge Road in Suffolk, Virginia. S-U-F-F-O-L-K. 3927 Bridge Road, Suffolk, Virginia, this coming Sunday, February the 14th, from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. The doors will open up at 3 p.m. For more information, you can call 757-609-0166. Again, if you would like to be at the event or if you need more information, 757-609-0166, or you can email drumarsuffolk@gmail.com. drumarsuffolk@gmail.com, and tickets can be purchased online at Prince of Pan Africanism with a K. We spell Africa with a K. So that's Prince of Pan Africanism.eventbrite.com. Or if you just go on Eventbrite and type on Suffolk, Virginia, I'm sure that the event will pop up. And we also just want to let your listening audience know that after Suffolk, Dr. Umar will be flying to the Caribbean islands, my first visit to the Caribbean in well over a year. I will be speaking in St. Martin at the University of Phillipsburg next Saturday, the 20th of February, for their Black History Program. And then I will be at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 23rd and 24th. I will be in Louisville, Kentucky, the last Friday of Black History Month. That's Friday the 26th. And then I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the last Sunday of Black History Month, which will be Sunday the 28th. And then we will start off the month of March in Little Rock, Arkansas. On Friday, March the 4th, we have Little Rock. And then on Sunday, March the 6th, I will be in LaGrange, Georgia, which is about an hour outside of Atlanta, followed by Paris. I will be over in Paris, France, from April the 5th until the 12th, and then I will be in South Africa again, May 16th to June the 1st.
Wow. So there's ample opportunity for you to actually go and see and, you know, be in the presence and speak with and be a part of this fantastic, fantastic journey that Dr. Umar is on. And more importantly, it's a life's journey that we all should emulate in our own ways. But most importantly, we have to have the collective prudence so that our young people can do the things and follow their passions and be free and independent. the way the great creator God Almighty has intended them to be. Dr. Umar, I'm definitely, I'm in Dallas. So when you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma on the 28th, that Sunday, I'm going to make my way there because I myself would love to be there to hear you and to just to be around, see what's going to be going on and to participate in some of the things and to support you and what you're doing. So, Dr. Umar, I know you're busy, but just before you go, I have one more question for you, Dr. Umar. Looking in, what is your opinion on what is happening, not only in, but particularly in Flint, but it's really something that's going on throughout the country. What are you seeing, and what is it that you would like to express about what is going on with the water crisis in Flint?
Well, that is a crime against humanity. It is environmental racism, and it is African genocide. I was up in Flint. I was the keynote speaker for the Martin Luther King Day breakfast hosted by the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Greater Flint. And I told the brothers and sisters there in the community that you guys need to get you some human rights lawyers, and it needs to be a class action lawsuit against the government of the United States, as well as the state of Michigan, as well as the city of Flint for allowing this to happen. This is a class action lawsuit. It is a crime against humanity. It is systematic genocide, and y'all cannot let this go. But one thing you said earlier, it is not only in Flint, it is across the country. Remember, the only reason why we know about Flint is because there was a professor who decided to voluntarily go to Flint and test the water. What we need is we need to get our environmentalists, black environmentalists across the country, to start testing the water everywhere black people live, because it's not only Flint. We only know about Flint because the water was tested in Flint. But now we need to test the water everywhere else, because I'm willing to bet that at least half of the city in this country, where black people make up at least 40% of the population, are also having toxic levels of lead, if not even worse chemicals.
Yes, so that is definitely the case. And we actually have Dr. Hawkins, who is going to be speaking about that next. And I'm going to try to send you something, Dr. Umar, on some of the things that Dr. Hawkins is doing. And he is a scientist, and he's actually an inventor that has the appropriate water filters for actually dealing with the concentration of lead and other toxins in the water. And this, you know, what he has is actually NASA uses. And, you know, this is, you know, these are some of the great black individuals that we have and the great black minds that we have to get behind and support. So I'm going to send you some of that. Dr. Umar, one more time before you leave, because I know you're pressed for time. How can people get in contact with the best way for them to get in contact so that they can support you and also to find out some of the things that you are doing and follow and spread the word about what it is and give exposure to the institutions that we need to be supporting?
Certainly. And before that, two quick points. Number one, you're in Dallas. I haven't been to Dallas since February of 2014. I'm looking for a venue that I can rent in Dallas to host my return lecture. So if you know of a place that can comfortably seat at least 500 of our people, please text that to me, my brother, because I want to return to Dallas. I'm getting a lot of requests to come back, but I need to find a place that can house the size crowd that I bring out. So if you have any ideas, please let me know. Also,
I sure will.
With the doctor that you're going to be bringing up next, please give him my contact information.
Yes, sir.
As someone who travels the world, if he has water filters, I need to get the prices on those, because I would like to have some of them available at my lectures for our people. No one sees as many black people in a week as I do in this country. So if he has something that they need, that type of information needs to be given to me. And not only him, anyone who has something that's critically important to the survival, protection, and success of African people, they need to get it into my hands, because I just don't want to give out people resources. I want to be able to give them solutions along with the information as well.
Yes, sir.
To reach me again, drumarjohnson.com is the website, at Dr. Umar Johnson on Twitter and Instagram, drumarjohnson@yahoo.com is the email, phone number 215-989-9858, again, 215-989-9858. Also, you can, if you're interested, we have the Africa trip coming up Black Boy College Tour coming up, Caribbean Cruise coming up, National Independent Parent Association Conference from March the 25th to the 27th is coming up. And don't forget, every Tuesday morning, the Black Parent Teleconference, free answers to your free questions. And again, get in contact with me if you can use me. Suffolk, Virginia, I will see you on Sunday.
Dr. Umar Johnson, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to Tando Radio Show. And I hope that you will, and I know whenever you have some time, please come back on. And I just want to say, brother, I love you and I love what you're doing. And I will always be in support of the things that you are doing because it's so necessary. It's so fundamentally correct. And this is the direction that we all need to go. So if there's anything, and I will take care, I will look, I will find you a venue here in Dallas. And we will do many things together. Much love, much respect to you, Dr. Umar. And be safe. And more importantly, travel the way the ancestors lead you, because I know you know that, but we appreciate that you do it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, my brother.
Oh, yes, sir. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Umar. Everyone, Dr. Umar Johnson, please go to Dr. Umar Johnson's social media. He gave you all the contacts that you need to reach out to help him in this cause, because it really is all about the collective prudence of everything. And if we do not support those that are fighting for us, once again, I will say, a land without men is captured. A land without women is barren. We will lose it all. And there's no need for us to do that. We are much greater than that. And I just want to sincerely request for you to engage yourself in this, because it's not about one individual. It's about the collective prudence to sovereignty for a people that have the opportunity to set their own prosperity in motion and to gain from that and to pass that on as an inheritance. This is the important thing that we have to do. So everyone, continue to support Dr. Umar Johnson. Looking forward to him coming back on. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with the great Dr. Will Hawkins. This is something that you don't want to miss. We're going to connect Dr. Hawkins with Dr. Umar Johnson and Dr. Umar Johnson with Dr. Hawkins, and we're going to connect all of us together, because this is what this show is all about. It's about the collective prudence, so that the appropriate time, which is now, we can all have a pool of talent, being you, that we can rely on and set our own agenda. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. It's brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Will Hawkins. Very, very important part of the show. We're going to be talking about his technology and what he's found in Flint and what you can do about that situation, because it's not just in Flint, it's everywhere. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. we had Dr. Hawkins. And we're going to have Dr. Hawkins is going to be coming up. Dr. Hawkins, are you there?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Welcome, Dr. Hawkins. And I just want to say, Doc, sorry about that. I was trying to pull it up. The system messed up, but we got the things that we needed. And there's some great things, as you heard, that we're going to be working with. And I'm so glad that you came on. Thank you for coming on today at this very, very important time. I know that you had a busy, busy schedule this week. And so I would just want to start, if you could just introduce yourself as far as what you're doing, what you can disclose, and why it's so important that what you were doing this week, what was it involving? Because it was involving the water crisis in Flint. But we want to find out, what did you find out, and what are you coming away with, and what are some of the solutions that you think and you know that can be provided for the people of Flint, but not only the people of Flint, but our people in general.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that Dr. Umar touched on a lot of very key points, and I pray sincerely that the people understand what he was trying to tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was really spot on. Well, just take, for example, one of the things that that I brought to light here fairly recently in the city of Flint with certain business owners, medical doctors, and others who are citizens of Flint and on the ground as we speak, is that the gentleman that Dr. Johnson alluded to that performed the water analysis, the water testing for the people, believe it or not, he has been bought off. And that is Mark Edwards. In fact, if you don't believe me, there is a video on YouTube now, a 6-hour video, where they had sort of a kangaroo court type of environment with certain members of Congress. And they were speaking with members of the EPA and other such organizations about what happened in Flint. Now, of course, the governor wasn't there, and the head of the EPA wasn't there. So it was, you know, it was one of those kangaroo court type sessions, if you will. But if you pay close attention to when they interviewed Dr. Mark Edwards, he, for the most part, is looking towards the ground. And he's really looking towards the ground when they asked him, how did the state of Michigan respond to him when he brought up the issue about the contamination. Dr. Edwards, as you'll see, was literally looking towards the ground when he said, well, the state of Michigan has been very helpful and very kind to me. He's looking at the ground the whole time he's saying this. Now, and it gets worse. They, throughout the course of this mockery of justice, in my opinion, anyhow, there was at least 10 occasions where they had to ask him to speak up, because they couldn't hear him. Dr. Edwards was so afraid. And as a matter of fact, one of the congressmen asked him to speak up. And then he pretty much said, listen, you don't have to be afraid here. And at that point, you could see a little fire in Dr. Edwards' eyes. And he started speaking certain truths. Now, I bring all that up to simply say this. And I have proof of this. I have the conversation recorded. Now, about two and a half weeks ago, Dr. Edwards and I had a phone conversation. And he says to me, and again, I have the conversation recorded. He says to me, oh, Dr. Hawkins, you don't have to worry about going to Flint. You know, everything's taken care of. The government brought in these filters, and they made sure that the citizens are taken care of. The water is safe to drink there in Flint right now. This guy actually told me this. He said this to me, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, wow. I mean, and I knew that was a lie, because people, even on social media, have been emailing me, or rather messaging me, photographs of their children of themselves. Even one of the local doctors there emailed me photographs. A gentleman who owns a particular fairly large business there in Flint emailed me pictures of himself, a brother, by the way. And so I knew that this wasn't correct. And at the same time, I'm keeping up with the news, the underground news. So again, to draw this wedge, what I'm really saying to you is that what Dr. Umar said is correct. We need to start getting our own civil engineers and water experts involved in the testing, because I can guarantee you that Dr. Edwards is paid off. And I'm not the only one that knows this. There are certain city councilmen, black men, that I've talked to who said the same thing. And now Dr. Edwards has lost credibility in the eyes of those black scholars there in Flint, because I exposed them to them. I exposed the fact that he was paid off. And now with this mockery, this mock congressional hearing, that only exemplifies my point.
Yeah.
So we better get our own experts in there real fast. And again, we'll talk more about those solutions here momentarily. But I just wanted to throw that out. But Dr. Umar was spot on with that.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that I hope that everyone really notices, from Dr. Umar to Dr. Hawkins, these individuals they say the exact same thing because it's sincere in nature. They understand how to build infrastructure that a nation can reside in. And that comes from collective prudence. Dr. Umar was right away said, hey, give me the contact to Dr. Hawkins and his, you know, what he has, because he goes around the world with this. That's the collective prudence. This isn't just Dr. Umar or Dr. Hawkins speaking from a standpoint of what you helping them. Dr. Hawkins will help you. Dr. Umar will help you. You can hear. And this is what we really need to identify with and see where the things that we need to emulate. And that's what I really, really appreciate about all of the sincere brothers and sisters that we have. And it's one of the ways that you can kind of discern who's who, you know, and because these individuals want what's good and the beneficial and the overall beneficial good of us all. And that's the key. It's not a monopoly. It's not a cabal. It's not a cartel. It's a nation. And this is the nation. The importance of nation building is you have to have the foundation of that nation with individuals that are willing to pull us to where we need to go. There's a big difference between a pusher, puller, and a rider, and a watcher. These gentlemen are pullers. So, Dr. Hawkins.
Yes, sir.
Busy week. Could you once again, because we were on Wednesday, could you once again explain how dire the situation is in Flint? Not from what the mainstream media has talked about, not from what the government has publicized, not from what other imposters and saboteurs have been involved in, but from a science standpoint, what are some of the findings what is the conditions that the people in Flint are actively dealing with currently?
Well, to avoid using too much technical jargon, what I'll say is that, just consider in your mind, if you will, what toxic waste is, or what you imagine, what you visualize, what comes up almost instantly from the depths of your unconscious when you hear the term toxic waste. The water in Flint is toxic waste times two. And I mean that literally. Okay, on the north side of Flint, they've tested homes that had in excess of 4,000 parts per billion.
Oh my God.
4,000 parts per billion. And that's with the B, my people, not 4 parts per million with the M, but with the B. So essentially, What it boils down to is this, and keep in mind, there are more than one types of lead. So the media is trying to smooth this whole thing situation. They're trying to smooth this whole situation over, and they're using guys like Mark Edwards to do it. Now, you know, and I'm just going to put this out there. I talked to a councilman by the name of Wantwas Davis. Okay, he and I had a long conversation about what's going on in Flint. And he's working with my organization to bring the solutions. Now, here's the issue, though, with this. So just to backtrack a little bit. What we found in terms of the toxicity is so, it's so, let's just say, no, it's beyond that. It's,
yes.
It's like a, it's beyond a genocide, in my opinion. This is a beta test for what we would call a great shearing.
Right.
You have a genocide, you have genocide, then you have the great shearing. The great shearing is something that, when you look at Flint and David, you know, I've said this numerous times, it's going to boil down to water. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what your political or religious affiliations are. You're going to need water, and you better have this water available to you in case something like this happens, and we can rely on ourselves. But and I'm being careful with my words here because. I want my people to really understand what I'm saying to you. I got a call from a particular politician a couple of weeks ago, and he was actually on my website during the call. And he let me know from the very beginning. He said, look, I'm on your website, Doc. And this is the Ancient Water Restoration website, not Hip Hop Therapeutics, but he was on the Ancient Water Restoration site. And he said, now, if you go to Flint and you embarrass the state, i.e. you show up there and you provide these workable solutions, the people get behind you, and the state becomes embarrassed by this, the state will trump up some charges against you to silence you. I mean, this, and the same politician was on the conference call with me yesterday. Now, get this. Now, initially, I thought the guy had, you know, I didn't know how to take that. It felt like a threat, you know, even though it was coming from this black man. It felt like a threat. I felt maybe he was Uncle Thomas or whatnot. But then later on, I found out that what he was saying is actually true. And then I found out that they had trumped up charges against other folk there who were bringing bottled water to Flint. As a matter of fact, there was a group called New Era Detroit who posted a video showing the police harassing them when they were just simply taking bottled water, a few cases of bottled water there, as well as some food to Flint. The cops were harassing them and such. And there were others, other individuals. So what we found then, is quite literally very disturbing, but disturbing in a sense where you really want your people to understand what it is we're up against and understand that these people are using tons and tons and tons and tons of different distractions to keep us immobilized, to keep us indifferent. And remember, indifference is worse than evil.
Yes.
But they keep us in this indifferent state of being paralyzed. I mean, we do a lot of talk.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually creating a sustainable system to help right now, look, black men, there's no excuse why we did not have a backup plan across the board, at least in America, for when something like this happened and our babies need clean water. There's absolutely no reason for that whatsoever, but that should show you just how far, and I don't want to sound pessimistic here.
No, you're not, Doc. You're telling the truth. And just let me interject just one thing, because you hit on so many great points. You said that is no excuse for us as men to have not to have a backup plan. You're absolutely right, Doc, because in the importance of this, and I can just express this, because Doc and I talk. It's in knowing the historical events that we have seen in the past that shows the capabilities of these individuals, these spirits, these people. There's nowhere in the world that we should have blind faith in a system, because blind faith is always the first step to genocide. And what Dr. Hawkins is expressing is that the saturation of contaminants and toxins within that water supply is on the level of extinction level events.
Listen, and not only that, but it's the water is so toxic. You don't find that type of toxic waste in third world countries. It's so toxic that it has to be deliberate. That's what I'm saying to you. This is what the environmental scientists that I've spoke to have stated, including certain officials that work for NASA. You know, the people, I mean, sir, some of you want to believe white folks, right? Like Dr. Umar said, look, I'm going to just tell you right now. This is one of the reasons I brought Dr. Fred Tepper and his team with me, so that whenever we run across some of you bootlickers out there, we'll have a white doctor right there to tell you, well, look, these are not only the best filters in the world, but this is what these are the technologies that the rich and well-to-do use, and you know, you might want to use you know, maybe not necessarily these technologies, but similar technologies, and have a backup strategy, you know, so when your government fails you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And in my opinion, black men, we have failed miserably when it comes to protecting our women and our children. How the hell can we sit back and allow a city, a town, a city that has about 80,000 black folk in it, probably a little bit more, 75.6% of them are single mothers, or the adults, 75.6% are single mothers, 30% of those, or 35% of those households have four children in them. Another 25% have three children in them. How the heck can we allow this type of travesty to take place to our women and children, and we not say nothing? And we're focused on football, we're focused on basketball, we're focused on all this other stuff, and you can't understand why the hell I'm upset.
No, Doc, it's so true, because the thing about it is that you fully understand the science of it all, but see, there's a moral conviction that we don't have to know all of the deviant plan, the conspiracy agenda. All we have to look at is our obligation to our family first and foremost, and build the best living conditions that they could possibly live in, and walk away from that has been destructive in our nature at call. And this is why we have to support you, have to support people like you, because you have the capabilities to provide and to augment, and I would say instead of augmenting their system, what we primarily have that as the foundation and the base of our system, first and foremost, from the great individuals that we have within our community that have a vested interest in our development and our prosperity. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And Doc, no. This is, you know, this is your home here on Tando Radio Show. You don't have to hold back anything. And we understand that your passion is because of the monumental task, or the neglect that we have willfully decided to forfeit for whatever reason, and that's unacceptable.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Just, and look, I'll let you do the math in your own mind. But Super Bowl last weekend, just how much money do you think that black folks spend on chips, on other types of refreshments, wings, pizza, beer, and all that just to watch the game? Let's exclude everything else and just focus on the refreshments for the football game. How much money do you think was spent there while this travesty was going on? It's still going on. It's been going on, according to the media, for 2 years. But guess what? I have proof right now that'll stand in any court of law. I was in Nebraska when it first happened. This crisis or this scandal started coming to a head in 2007. In 2007. And look, the mainstream even admits that Detroit's water right now, before Flint even switched the water source, that emergency manager, before they even switched, they were drinking water that was contaminated with 3 parts per billion anyway. They're drinking water in Detroit right now that has 3 parts per billion when there is no safe limit for lead in water whatsoever. And yes, exactly. There's technology that can filter all of the lead out, but they add it just like they add the damn fluoride. And let's not forget, you have state representatives who were recently telling these single mothers that no one was going to come and help them. And when you look at the situation, 2 years of absolutely no help, except for the good men and women on the ground who donated bottled water and things of this nature. And then it came out, of course, that even most of the bottled water that's been donated by the so-called celebrities are contaminated too. So then that started sparking people to launch their own independent investigations, because you're buying this water from the store and you think just because it's in the white folks' store that the water is safe. And now, since the Flint situation came to a head, everybody started to see that's not true. But heck, St. Joseph, Louisiana, the same problem. You should see their water, all right? You should look right outside of Toledo, Ohio. I mean, this is a type of soft kill technology. I mean, how else can you call it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. This soft kill technology, and it's been used throughout history. If you know history, you'll see it. You ever wonder why the Mayans are gone? You ever wonder why certain civilizations have been erased from the planet? Well, we continue to do, and we continue to have blind faith in things. There will be another. There will be another. And this is what we have to stop. Doc Hawkins, what is some of the technology that you personally know of and you have that could actually solve these issues? And then not only that, Doc, what is it going to take for that technology to be in place so it can be functioning, actively functioning as soon as possible?
Well, in particular, I'll touch on two of those technologies, for Tom's sake. Now, one of those systems are an industrial line of purifiers, water purifiers, that my colleagues and I design. And, my colleague, he actually puts the systems together and, things of this nature. These industrial water purifiers, can treat in, anywhere from 5,000 to 2 million plus gallons of water daily. All right. The second technology is what they call nanoceram filters. Now, this was invented by a colleague of mine. His name is Fred Tepper. And they received all types of funding to make this technology possible. This is a company. This is the CEO of a company that had its start in the early 90s with an emphasis and focus on developing nanotechnology. Now, just to give you.
Doc Hawkins, we lost you. Give us a call back. Let me text Doc real quick. Never fails, huh? Okay, everyone, we lost Doc real quick. I'm gonna text him, and he'll be right back in, hopefully. Sorry, everyone. So, okay, everyone, don't want to have any dead air. Listen, you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, and you, as you already know, you know, this incident, these incidents in Flint, and if you notice what Doc Hawkins had said about, okay, there's Doc again, okay. Doc Hawkins, sorry about that. The last thing that you were, you, when you went out, and Doc laughs because there's a reason why Doc was chuckling and laughing, but go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, because you know when I get on this subject, mysteriously I get disconnected. This isn't the only time it's happened or the only show. But look, it's all good. They can't stop. They can't stop the truth. But okay, let me back up just a bit. These nanofiber filters that I'm advocating, I've tested for myself. I know that these are the best filters in the world. They removed both types of lead, right? And they also removed arsenic. They removed all different types of contaminants, heavy metals, viruses, bacteria, protozoa, you name it. And what I really want to emphasize to you is that, and again, I tell black folk this all the damn time, but what we need to really start doing is ask ourselves, what types of water filtration system do the so-called elite use to purify their water? Now, Snyder got on national TV and told these folk that the water was safe to drink. Well, what we should have said was, prove it. Let's see you drink this water then. As a matter of fact, we're gonna chauffeur you to the north side of Flint. Let's see you drink it. That's what we should have done.
Right.
But you know, back to these filters, they consist. Now there's a few different types. They have a nanoceram filter called a nanoceram super filter, and it was because of the development of this filter, they won a Space Academy Science Award, which is basically issued by NASA. So these patents and filters were basically,
we are greatly confused, but death has come into our debtors to cut off the young men.
Muted.
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. Well, one of the things is that these
unmuted,
these patented nanotechnologies were basically, they were suppressed. And the rich and well-to-do decided that they were going to keep them amongst themselves and that they didn't want the people to have access to these technologies, because if they did, then the situations like Flint wouldn't have happened because the people would have been prepared. So when I tell you that these are literally the best filters on the planet, I'm not just saying this, but this is something that we're proving in Flint very, very, very soon. And I mean very soon. But you got to understand, we have to play chess with these demons, okay? Because I'm dead serious. They were actually telling me this, that, hey, if you go there, they're going to trump up some charges against you, because they know what I'm bringing, and they know what I'm bringing can actually solve this issue. But guess what? They have so much egg on their face now that a few of them have even reached out to me. I was asked in a private conversation about 4 or 5 days ago if I would work with the federal government, if I was willing to work with them, you know, not in a sense where they would dictate to me, but that I could dictate to them and tell them where we need them and that they could help with the personnel to install these filters and this and that. But you know what? The thing is that I'm not going to allow these demons to turn this to politically hijack, you know, this movement, what we're doing there to save the people, because really that's what it's about. It's about saving the people. How many of these people can we save? This is our people.
Right. Hold on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Listen, we got to go to a commercial break. When we're going to come, when we come back, more discussions, more talk with our guest, Dr. Will Hawkins, who actually has been to Flint and is on the ground and has a scientific solution to not only Flint's problems, because I hope you heard what he said, that the bottled water that was donated had lead in it also. So that means everything that you're drinking has lead in it also, because this is a soft kill program. I said it because I know there's a conspiracy agenda, no such thing as a conspiracy theory. When you look at the evidence that validates that, one of the things, we got to become better investigators as people and see where we really are. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go straight back to Dr. Hawkins. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Hawkins, please don't hesitate. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61. I will see you in queue and bring you up as soon as I possibly can. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. That's 549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and with us we have Dr. Will Hawkins, who is telling us about the water crisis that Flint is under. And if we really look at it, it's a water crisis that we've been in a continuous state of crisis because we haven't taken on our own responsibility to free ourselves from their playing field. All we say, the key to everything is, if you play by their rules, they will rule. We need to establish our own rules. And we have Dr. Hawkins that's with us right now. Dr. Hawkins, we have one caller that's in queue. Do you want to take that caller and see what their question or comment is for you? Or is there something that you want to express before we go to callers?
Yeah, there is something I want to express before we call.
Okay.
Now, you got to understand something else. There's a lady out there by the name of Janet C. Phelan. And if you get a hold of her, she'll tell you she knows who I am. And we've had some long and tiring conversations about water and the government's weaponization of water. Now, this woman is in exile. She's a former journalist from California, has written for some very noble magazines as well as newspapers. And she started exposing the fact that the government had a a dual piping system, a dual pipeline underground that, for example, white folk get a particular type of water and black folk get a whole other different water. Now, in this water, this direct targeting can be accomplished with the push of or the stroke of a few computer keys that allows them to open up valves that will release toxins in the water. Now, when she first broke this story over a decade ago, the government said she was lying. They said there was no proof of this and that. And she came out with the blueprints. She came out with photographs of the city developers, their actual blueprints. She stole the blueprints. And one guy was nice enough to, one of the engineers was nice enough to let her photograph another set of blueprints. I believe it was in New York or something of that nature. But the government stated profusely that this type of dual pipeline didn't exist, and that white folk and black folk and everyone else received the exact same tap water, and she proved that that was a lie. So the police almost killed her in the streets. And keep in mind, this is a white woman. And they almost killed her in the streets, and she literally escaped their custody in the hospital, and she fled the country, where there were numerous attempts on her life. Now, when you first talk to her, you may think, this woman is a little out there. But once you settle down and you really listen to what she's saying, she's describing what happened in Flint.
Exactly.
These people, they are watering it. Listen, do not let these people, Snyder and the others, water the situation down, smooth it over, whatnot, using Mark Edwards, because that's exactly what they're doing. Ask Mr. Wantworth Davis, and I'll get into greater details about this at another time. But bring on the caller, Brother David. I'm ready.
You know what? But I want to say a couple of things, Doc, before we go to the caller. You know,
okay.
The crap water, they call it tap water, but it's actually polluted crap water. And you've been talking about this from the very first time that you came on Tando Radio Show, the second
yep.
month that we started this show.
Yep.
And this lady, if you had been through what she had to go, have gone through, and there's one thing about people that go through things, people that have never went through a darn thing in their life think of them as being strange because you can't identify with the things that they know. And they're able to discern different things about what's coming next. Because once you learn this beast, you understand the tactics of it and the extent of the tactics. There is this, you know, they say the old saying, and they tell you everything in this one, that truth is stranger than fiction. Because the truth of the matter is, this is what's happening. And it's only happening because we have had blind faith in people that we should have, and history has told us to walk away from everything and remove ourselves from their system. So let's go to this caller, Doc Hawkins. You ready?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Where you're calling? Where are you calling from? And what is your question or comment for Dr. Hawkins?
Good evening, Brother Dave. This is Brother Davis.
Hey, Brother Davis. What's going on?
Hey, everything's fine. Peace, Brother Dr. Hawkins. It's always good to hear from you and hear of what you were doing. But literally, as I listened and I realized the magnitude of the problem, I have to wonder, your value to our community is increasing by the moment. Have you seriously given any consideration to that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very humbling thought, to say the least.
You know, Brother Davis and I and Sister Davis was talking, but Doc, we'll talk, we need to talk offline, the three of us, and because there was a, you know, we need to talk offline, but go ahead, Brother Davis.
Okay, I was available to hear the interview in which Dr. Hawkins is talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. You had to hear the expression of the tone and the voice of the individual, because this not only touched her to the degree where she wanted to run, it touched her compassion to the degree that she was willing to risk her life. And we have to see that is the courage of responsibility that we must carry now, because that may be the least that may be required of us in a given situation. I want to thank you, Brother Dr. Hawkins, for bringing this to us, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about the solution and the filters and how can they be placed into those individual homes that may not be in Flint, but may want that avenue available to them.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Brother Davis, thank you much for the kind words. It's always a pleasure, my brother. And, you know, heck, man, I'm serious with, you know, serious about networking with, anyone who truly wants the nation build and, become self-sufficient, man. If this don't wake us up, man, I mean, dang it, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Yeah, Doc, it's so true. But because of the commitment that like-minded individuals such as you, Dr. Umar, Brother Davis, and all of our listeners, this is not going to be pushed under the rug. We are going to actively, and you know what, Doc, would you not agree that sometimes we need to get a slap in the face to what reality is so that we can, because for every tragedy, there is an opportunity for prosperity. And we, when I'm talking about the prosperity of where you can be assured that you have peace, and it takes technology in this world in order to stabilize the peace around you.
Oh, no doubt about it. Now, here's the thing, but the thing that's more important than technology is the human soul.
Yes.
You got to understand, man, what type of, if you can call them people, but what type of people we're dealing with here. You got to understand what ancestral memories are. And, you know, I wish Dr. Umar is on right now so he can also explain to the people what I mean by that, you know, by ancestral memories.
Sure.
Some refer to it as reflection eternal, the collective unconscious. You know, it's real. Memories can be passed down from generation to generation. They teach us that memories are memories are dependent on the brain, that the brain stores all memories and that's it. And that's not true. Memories are stored in your actual DNA. That's what
DNA,
genetic codes really are, right? So these demons, you got to understand, when you have a long history of evil doing, when it's in your family and it runs perpetual, just hundreds and thousands of years, your people have done nothing but decimate indigenous populations and figure out slick ways to enslave people and to rip the soul from a person's body. You got to understand what type of mentality that group of people will have after several hundred years of this. And we're being conservative here by saying several hundred years. So you got to understand what type of soulless creatures that we're dealing with here.
So,
but again, we need to start valuing ourselves.
Yes.
Now the technology is great and all that, and yes, it can be used to help us. But what about the minds that developed the technology? What about the soul that sparked the energy to even create the archetype of the technology in your subconscious mind in the first place? What about that? You know, how come I keep hearing everybody talk about black love, but we're quick to high side and cap on each other? Oh, your mother's so black that, oh, your hair is so nappy that. I mean, how come I'm hearing this in 2016?
Yes.
You know,
and Doc, that is so, because, you know, the consciousness is also eternal and it's harmonic and in the frequencies. It lives and it resonates, as you said, in our DNA, and it still lives. We are eternal, and we have to move back to this. God, we have so many callers in queue. But before we go to those, because I don't want us to get lost, and, you know, I want our questions to be answered, but I really want our listeners to hear, because we're going to have further discussions on this, because there's a lot of support that we need to get behind. And it's not, and this is not something that is done in a show. This is a lifestyle that we need to be living now. Doc, what is some of the technology that you have that you need the support of the people, and how can they support the technology that you have that can deal with these type of obstacles, these types of threats, these types of contamination, and then also so that we can make sure that this doesn't happen again? So, Doc, could you just talk about that and tell people how they can support you and what you're doing? Because I know there's some calls that we're going to get to, but we need to get this out, because this is what is the solution to it all. Go ahead, Doc.
Sure. Now, first thing we need to understand is as far as the water purifiers, you know, those are my babies, as well as Dr. Stewart's. We're donating that technology, y'all. We're not charging our people for that, you know. Now the filters, that's not my baby. You know, my colleague invented that, and you know, he's donating a lot of those systems as well, including the industrial purifiers. Now, of course, there's only so far that we can go with the donations, because it does take a lot of money to create these filters. We're talking about filters that cost close to $2,000 a pop, you know, and we're donating over 100 of these filters, you know, as long, and the purifiers are more expensive than that. But, you know, the thing is that we don't need help as far as that's concerned. What we need help with is, for example, plumbers helping us install the systems, you know, other individuals to perform independent water testing. For us, and things of this nature. We need people to help deliver water. We need CDL licensed professional drivers to help us and things of this nature, because, for example, we have 17,500 gallon water tanks. And I mean, I don't mean individual, like 17,000 individual tanks. I mean, the actual water tanks themselves can hold 17,500 gallons of water. Okay. Now, what part of the midterm solution is to bring about 100 of those tanks to Flint with fresh water and set up a controlled system where, you know, all of the houses, and especially in the poorest neighborhoods on the north side, could receive this fresh water. Now, the water pressure won't be all the best, but still, you can bathe in it. You can cook with it. You can, you know, do the things that you need to do with it. And we need individuals that could help us network these tanks, connect the plumbing and things of that nature. Now, if you can support us financially, you know, that would be great too. CBS, NBC, as well as ABC has offered to interview me next week. So there's a lot of attention being brought to our campaign and how we plan on helping the citizens of Flint. And also with that, you know, I'm going to expose a whole lot of corrupt folk that are there in Flint right now. Some that are so-called state representatives who are making a profit off of this and that sort of thing. But just spread the word. Spread the word. If you're there in Detroit and you want to help us install these filters or, you know, help us bring in the tanks and things of this nature, please just get at me, www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. Either that or you can call me, 281-591-9426. Again, that's ancientwaterrestoration.com. My number is 281-591-9426. And this is just the beginning. This isn't the entire plan that we have that we're setting in motion for Flint, but there's only so much that I can say right now.
Yes.
As you get, you know, into it. But yes, any way that you can help my people, we have a GoFundMe page. I had took it offline for a while until the public relations department supervisor of GoFundMe message me and say, hey, listen, put your campaign back out there. We see what you're doing. We see the technology. We see the patents. And now we reached out to our affiliates there in Houston to help you spread the word. So my people, just however you feel that you can be of help. We've had civil engineers reach out to us. We've had plumbers, electrical engineers, and others. That help is greatly appreciated. And I do want to extend my extreme gratitude for those of you who reached out to me thus far and that have reached out to brothers like Dr. Umar and others who are really looking to help our people.
Yes. And Doc, you're going to come back on and we're going to talk about this much more extensively and we're going to, and Doc is continuing to, because this is, you know, unfold, it's very fluid, you know, and it's unfolding. And so Doc is going to come back on and keep us abreast as to what's going on. And we're going to get behind and support you in these efforts because we have to. And it's going to take all of a collective move because it's more than just the monetary donations. It's actually, as Doc said, the plumbers. There is infrastructure that we need to have. We need to have a complete operation. And all of the things from that an operation would rely upon in order to get the mission done. And that's what it really is. We all have different methods of things, but our objectives are the same. But in this case, there's going to have to come some structural organization in order to do these things, and it's going to need your expertise and your help. Doc, we got a couple of callers, FNQ. We got five minutes left, so let's try to take some of those real quick. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? What is your where are you from? And what is your question or comment for Dr. Hawkins? Quickly, please. Okay, that person. All right. Welcome, caller, to Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Dr. Hawkins?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Well, my question is something – how you doing? My question is something different. It's about a device that I did see you with Dr. Hawkins, and it attaches to the phone, and it emits a vibration. I was trying to see how much that was, and I want to know if you can give me that information.
For right now, what I'll say is this. Just please shoot me an email at Dr. Hawkins at hiphoptherapeutics.com or just go to the website and you can send me a message directly from the site. But if you don't mind, sister, right now I'd like to keep the focus on the water purification. But the devices mm-hmm. that you spoke about, there are three models for those units, and I'll be more than happy to provide you with that information.
Yes, Dr. Hawkins will be back on from time to time, and we'll definitely get on to all, because Dr. Hawkins is an inventor, and there's a lot of things that Dr. Hawkins offers that you definitely we all need. So thank you, sister, for the call. Stay in touch and reach out to Dr. Hawkins. He will get back to you. Okay, let's take another one, Dr. Hawkins.
Yes.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Dr. Hawkins? Quickly.
Yes, yes. Hey, how's it going? This is Dallas calling. Hey, a big brother, Rand, Melly Payne, everybody. Yes, Dr. Hawkins, I see on your video for the water, I see that you said something about investment. Opportunities. So I was wondering, are you still going to have investment opportunities and stuff like that? Like a lot with donations?
That's an old, that was an old video that I put up, but yeah, absolutely. We offer investment opportunities as well. And that's something that can be discussed later. But at this moment, my main concern is getting the technology that we have available right now to the people in Flint and saving the babies, you know, saving our sisters and brothers there as well. But yes, just send me an email if you would, and I'll definitely get you some more information about that. Thank you, Tom, my brother.
Yes, Dallas, yes. Doc is working on a bunch of things, and that is, let me tell you something about Doc Hawkins real quick. Doc Hawkins wants us all to work together collectively, and he's bringing his talents and his inventions in order to actually facilitate a new economy that we will be engaging in. So, yes, there are many things that will happen in the future. So stay tuned, and you'll hear about them here and through Doc Hawkins' media events. Okay, another caller, last caller, Dr. Hawkins, okay? Welcome, caller, to Tango Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Dr. Hawkins? Okay, that person, we lost that person. Doc, okay, once again, we have 2 minutes left. Doc, please, one more time, how can people get in contact with you to support some of the efforts, particularly with the water crisis that's going on in Flint? And it's not only in Flint, it's everywhere, it's in all of our homes. This is not just a target for Flint, if we haven't realized that yet. But how can people get in contact with you?
Well, the website, www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. That's ancientwaterrestoration.com. Or you can call the office, 281-591-9426. You know, one of the things I would encourage people to do is put pressure, to collectively put pressure on the city, as well as others to actually, work with us, because these people, have been trying to stop me, from going to Flint. And that's the only reason I'm not there yet. You know, my colleagues had made filters that are tailored to the water, or should I say tailored for the situation there in Flint, in terms of the corrosion and toxicity and things of that nature. So the filters were finished yesterday, the newest filters, the double pleated filters, and those are on their way right now. So we need people we need more people on the ground. Right now, we have medical doctors that are with us in Flint, that live in Flint. We have business owners that are there. We have city council members, and we have scores of other people that are working with us, mostly single mothers. And by the way, if you need one of these filters, my people, please send me an email, call me or something, and we can put you on our list, because we're putting together a list for people to stop to stop at their homes first, especially if you're one of those ladies that have three to four children. We're going to try to get to you first, along with the elderly, but we do plan on reaching everyone. The only thing that we ask is that you share.
Yes,
Black people, listen to me. Share with your neighbors. Share with your neighbors. That way we can reach as many people as we can, as quickly as we can.
Doc Hawkins, if you can you come back on next week? You know, because this is, you know, if you find some time, please do that. And I just want to say, Doc, definitely give me a call as soon as we finish the Tango Radio Show, if you can, or at your most, you know, available moment. Just it'll be quickly. Okay, Doc?
Yes, sir. Thank
okay,
you.
Doc. Doc, I love you. Love what you're doing. And
much love, my brother.
We are in this all together. Okay, everyone, I just want to thank you all for listening to Tango Radio Show today. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, to make sure to be a blessing. And now is the time for us to collectively come together and start doing things. We already know what the problems are, but the thing is that we're not doing anything about them. We need to put energy behind our thoughts. Much love, much respect to you all. And God willing, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Even with nothing, you know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing how you love. Love is kind, love can give and get no gain.